The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This morning we've got all kinds of excitement here. We've got two similar characters in complete different opposite fields that can impact my listeners, the federal IT professional. We have a gentleman in one corner who works with a lot of military folks and helps them move legacy systems into newer systems. And in the other corner, we have an expert in cryptography who helps companies encrypt data and make secure communications and a lot of applications to the federal government. I thought these two personalities would be great to have in the room together, kind of one corner, another corner, and have them have at it for about 40 minutes. In one corner, we have Isaac Barnes. He is the co-founder and CTO of a company called Eminent, E-M-I-N-E-N-T. Isaac, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, John. Thanks.
And his website's kind of tough for radio. It's emin-it.com. And in the other corner, we have Navroop Mitter, who is the founder and CEO of a company called Armor Text. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for having me this morning.
And there's no U in there. It's armortext.com. Where to begin? Boy, this is so exciting for me. Tell me about your background first, Isaac, and how you wound up in the Marine Corps and started your own company. This is a great story.
So for me, my story started shortly before 9/11. In 2001, I was fresh out of high school, into college, and I was looking for a way to become a computer programmer. That was my primary concern at that time. So I decided to try the military out. I figured it would be a good way for me to get into the field. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I became an actual pulley, which is before you become a Marine, you're going through the process of learning how to be a Marine. And the day I was leaving for the Marine Corps was actually on September 11, 2001. And I was literally signing my name on the contract and the towers fell. As I was watching that, I was completely terrified. And I didn't know if that was the decision that I wanted to make. I knew that I wanted to be a Marine, and also knew that I wanted to pursue this career in IT. And so I ended up deciding to do it anyway. And then that led me into the Marine Corps, and that led me into my field that I'm in now. That's how it all started.
What they do is give you a bunch of tests, and someone like me, they'd make me become a cook. They give you a bunch of tests, and what'd they make you become there, Isaac?
Exactly. They gave me a bunch of tests and made me lead Marines into building systems for the entire Marine Corps.
Well, this guy all of a sudden found out he's smart. No one knew. His mom and dad didn't know. His friends didn't know, but he got a test and found he's smart. Navroop, tell us about your background, please.
You know, I actually got my start in technology a little differently than Isaac. I started out working in technology startups at about 13 and 14 when I'd been recruited because of a science fair. Back in California.
A science fair, my goodness.
Science fair project, had done a lot of interesting work on computing and technology. Judges actually showed up at my parents' home, recruited me in. I spent the next few years, you know, through high school and then also through college working in technology startups. Market crashes in 2000, September 11th happens, realized that, hey, you know what? Maybe being a startup isn't going to be the best move for the next few years after this. Went to IBM, subsequently Deloitte, and then Accenture. We ended up helping build three of their security practices globally, helped build the practice in Stockholm, helped build another nearshore delivery center for security operations in Argentina, and then actually worked on a third practice here domestically as well. So I've kind of grown up in and around the security space for the last 15 plus years.
So went to school up in Boston, huh?
Went to school at Boston University, great school.
Yeah, fun. When I went to your LinkedIn profile, your three characteristics were involved mostly with security, strategy, and startups. So you're not new to this game then, are you?
No, not at all. I've spent a lot of time in security, spent a lot of time in startups, made my way back. Consulting was a great detour, loved it, love what guys like Isaac do, but decided that my real passion was still back in product.
Oh, great. So Isaac, if you're sitting in the metro next to someone, you got 30 seconds to tell them what your company does, what would you tell them?
We help government agencies make their IT better. That's what we do.
And normally it's with legacy systems into something newer, is that
correct?
Right? Yeah. You know, that's a challenge. I was at an event yesterday up at the museum. There was Congressman Hurd was there, and Jerry Connolly was there. Everyone knows these characters. And someone in the audience said, you know, in the civilian agency, out of all the CIOs, there's one third of CIOs that aren't there.
Right.
So my listeners are in situations where, you know, they have a FITARA score coming out and their CIO is not there. They have people over in the Department of Defense. They have tasks with very, very difficult circumstances. They may not have the budget or the people to do it, or things could change. And so you've seen all this, haven't you?
Yeah, I definitely have. The biggest thing that I've learned in my career is that it's about the people. You're going to have leadership that have their vision, they have their direction, but it's all on the people that are in the organization at the end of the day to step up to the plate and want to make a difference. And that's the key to improving the existing technology, improving the organization, improving all the internal processes. It's all about the people on the ground doing what they have to do day in and day out to make the entire experience of working there, being there, better.
So Navroop, I'll ask you the same question. So you're sitting in the Metro next to me, and I say, what's your company do there, Navroop? What's your 30-second answer?
Yeah, look, we're bringing trust to high-value transactions and sensitive conversations on messaging. At the end of the day, if we think about messaging, it's starting to replace almost all of the forms of communication. But there's a lot of lack of security in and around how we message today. There's a lot of mineable data that's being produced, subpoenas that can bypass your organization, and or bulk theft of data. And what we're doing is helping to correct for that.
So yesterday I was at this event. You know, you get lunch, you sit next to someone. I was sitting next to this guy from the GSA. Turns out he's a big dog. But anyway, he remained nameless. And so I was talking to him about the challenge of the GSA. He's talking about 18F, and he's talking about being flexible and digital strategy. And so let's say you're sitting next to him, and he says, well, geez, Navroop, what can Armatex do for the GSA? So that's my question to you is, if a federal IT professional is listening to this interview, how can your company help them?
Yeah, look, you know, great question, right? So right now we're not working directly with federal IT folks. We are working with the folks in defense manufacturing and adjacent industries where we're helping them meet not only their FAR requirements, but really helping them meet their business challenges. A lot of these folks are in defense manufacturing. They're up against threats of industrial espionage. They're concerned with the transfer of either drawings or supplier and vendor information, things that they really want to protect because the breach of that information would have a negative impact to their business.
So what your product does is it encrypts text messaging, or what kind of messaging does it encrypt?
Yeah, great question. So we actually encrypt messaging and file share. So if we think about the kinds of chat applications that we all grew up with behind the firewall, right, like our Cisco Jabbers or our Microsoft Lynx or IBM SameTimes, these were your internal chat applications. Most of that has now moved onto the cloud, and because of that, has become vulnerable to a whole new set of threats. What we do is we provide that next-generation messaging experience that your employees are seeking out because IT hasn't provided them a tool. We provide that same experience, but with the kinds of security that you would want in highly regulated industries or folks who have reasonable concerns around industrial espionage.
So one of the problems that GSA had is they were using something called Slack with some partners, and they got in a little bit of trouble. Would that be an application for your product?
Absolutely. So when the GSA, or sorry, with the folks at 18F were using Slack, the reality is some of the integrations with their personal file share that were allowed on the system result in leak of PII or sensitive information. In our model, that security protocols would have prevented both the leak of that information out to the their personal file share, but also as they exchange those files along the way, it would have been fully encrypted in such a way that we as the provider would never be able to see that message or open up any other file share, but they as an organization could still affect an after-action report or a review that they need to do to make sure they could see who had said what and to whom, when it was seen, and how it was consumed, right?
So, Isaac, collaboration, I mean, you're involved with all kinds of different teams, different type of levels of security. Do you use products like Slack or Trello or Basecamp, or do you use any tools like that?
Definitely. My responsibility is to make sure that our team is aware of all the different technologies that are out there and that are available. We internally use a lot of Google's products, and Google Hangout is the primary messaging tool that we use internally. We don't have all the requirements of needing encryption and needing secure messaging, but those tools have been sufficient for us as far as collaboration is concerned. Within the government organizations, I know one of the primary tools that they've been using for collaboration is Microsoft-related technologies. And it doesn't necessarily provide the level of security that you could provide or that is available out there in the market. And so I think there's a lot of room for improvement in that space, definitely. For us internally, we're focused on basically helping our government folks collaborate with external parties and internal parties, and doing that in ways that other methods in the past haven't been able to accomplish, and doing that in an efficient way. What I mean by that is specifically, for instance, one of our customers, we recently helped them onboard new students, onboard new employees, onboard new staff into their organization. And the way we've been able to do that is by providing a secure platform in our software system.
Great, great opener here. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk more about encryption and communication and collaboration and solving problems for my listeners, which are federal IT professionals. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Isaac Barnes. He is a CTO and co-founder of a company called Eminent, and Root Mittner. He is the founder and CEO of a company called Armor Text. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Isaac Barnes. He is the CTO and co-founder of a company called Eminent, not very radio-friendly. It's E-M-I-N-E-N-T, and you can find that at emin-it.com. And Navroop Mittner, he is the founder and CEO of a company called Armor Text, and they work with encryption and secure messaging. Before the break, I kind of tossed out this word Slack and collaboration, and a lot of the software developers I know are so sick of email. I read a story the other day that people would rather go to the dentist and actually walk into a bank these days. And I think some of my students would rather go to the dentist than send an email or even meet someone face-to-face. So people use tools like Basecamp and Slack, and I think Trello is another one. So I'll ask you, Navroop, so if someone in the DOD wants to use secure communications, should they use something like Slack and your encryption?
Well, so, you know, when we come to a lot of these cloud-based services or products that are out there, the reality is if you're going to try to secure communications on top of these platforms, whether it's the Slack or the Basecamp or other products, you're going to try to pre-encrypt that messaging or that file share. So it's encrypted before it ever leaves your device. It then sits on their platform. Unfortunately, while that may improve security to some degree, it actually ends up ultimately weakening the security posture of your organization, because it destroys core capability and functionality of those products, right? If you've pre-encrypted the messaging in such a way that Slack can no longer index it, you destroy their ability to do search. You destroy a number of core capabilities that users expect, and that actually drives the adoption of shadow IT. You force your users to go find their own solutions to continue to work to get the job done, and as a result, you end up ultimately weakening your own security posture.
So where would be an application? Let's say I'm John Gilroy, and I'm over at Interior, beating my head against the wall, trying to figure out how to encrypt messages. Where would be a good application for your product?
Yeah, absolutely. So where you would have used other chat applications in the past, we provide a full-fledged communications platform. So that covers your messaging, your file share. Later on this year, we're actually rolling out a secure voice capability. Then instead of having the standard vulnerability of a VoIP product that's got a media server in the cloud that you can tap centrally, we're actually rolling out a model where that media server is actually roving, and it's actually provided locally by one of the participants in the call on a continuous basis. And by doing things like that, we're able to provide a greater degree of security. So we would actually be the replacement for many of these technologies.
Now, Isaac, one of your challenges is working with different teams, probably in different parts of the country, on very complex projects that move systems. So what are your ideas on communications and secure communications from your perspective?
I think it's definitely necessary. I think as of right now, it's an issue and a hot button that a lot of people don't really know that there's solutions for out there. I know there's been a lot of research that's been happening into identifying these types of solutions and figuring out how to implement these solutions. And a lot of the breaches that we've been seeing and experiencing have kind of heightened the interest in these types of technologies. I think going forward in the next 5 to 10 years is definitely going to become commonplace. It's going to be to the point where you won't go to an organization that's not leveraging these things. I think that the biggest issue which Arup mentioned, is people will take the approach of trying to layer additional security and encryption on top of existing platforms and some of the staples that they're used to, like Skype and other platforms for messaging. But I think as industry evolves and expands into the space even further, I think the government will definitely see the need for these types of platforms.
So, Isaac, I went to your LinkedIn profile, and you talk about how to modernize legacy systems. And so let's say someone's listening to this, and they're at an agency, maybe NIH, I don't know, pick an agency, could be anyone out there, mm-hmm. and they have a challenge of moving from one system to the next. If they called you, I mean, what guidance would you give them in the first 30 seconds, or what would you have them start? Where's the first step after they contact you or in contacting you?
For me to implement it for them?
Yeah. What would you say? Where do you start? Do you come out there? I mean, do you survey? Or are there some agencies you do not want to work with or some you do want to work with?
So primarily our focus is on identifying a customer set that we feel we can provide value to. We don't just take any customer. That's not our goal. Our goal is to look for opportunities to, like I said, provide value. And what that means is if there's a platform, a system, architecture that is archaic and that is causing friction for the organization, we identify ways where that whole process can be improved. And the way we do that is by taking existing platforms and then also our platform, which is Revamp, our software solution that we've created. And we're able to come in and help them rapidly improve on that process. The way we like to work with customers initially is we come in and we help them analyze their entire process from start to finish. That end-to-end approach allows you to identify where things are falling apart or broken within the system. And instead of just taking the approach of just improving something for the sake of improving it, we like to improve it and actually improve the quality of life for all the people that are involved in the organization.
So when you first heard about Nauru's product, what did you think?
My first impression was that this is something that's definitely necessary in this space. I think he's going to be able to attract a lot of interest once he's able to get the message out. And one of the conversations that him and I had was it's difficult as a small business to get your message out. But once you're actually able to get past that and get some traction, you'll see that people will be interested in this product. And I think that's the direction his company is going to be headed in.
So now, Rupa, I was at this event yesterday and people were talking. And one fun fact was that 1/3 of all CAO spots are empty in the federal government. And what we see, and listeners will tell me this all the time, is that there's a lot of anticipation of maybe a reduced workforce. And so if I'm working for an agency and I'm thinking about going to your product, am I going to have to hire someone to do this? Or is this a whole lot more work for me? Or is this reduced work?
You know, ArmorText was designed to reduce effort and work on behalf of all parties that are involved in secure communications. If we think about it, that means reducing the level of effort required for the end user, reducing the effort that's required for the IT administrators, as well as reducing the effort for the folks who may have to affect an after-action report or some sort of review. With ArmorText, it's a pure SaaS application, right? You can deploy across an entire organization in less than 30 minutes. Most of that is actually figuring out what version or configuration you want to deploy. It runs entirely in the cloud. There's no on-premise hardware requirement, no on-premise proprietary hardware. Your users can use ArmorText on iOS, Android, PC, Mac. Heck, we even got a Linux version if you really desire. And so it's pretty easy. We've actually rolled out for, you know, even larger organizations now in the commercial sector in, you know, a matter of minutes. And then they've been able to actually execute a self-service rollout for the rest of their users who are kind of stragglers coming in, achieving, you know, a full 100% compliance over the course of 5 to 7 days.
So now, Rupa, your website talks about Secure, Messenger, Helm, and Vault. Those three products you have, two different systems, what are these three things?
Yeah, so ArmorText is really a platform composed of three components. One is our Secure Messenger. This is where you end-to-end encrypt messaging. Before a message ever leaves the device or a file leaves your device on the ArmorText platform, it's being uniquely encrypted for every single message or every single file, and then also encrypted very specifically for each of the recipient's devices. So if there are multiple recipients and each have multiple devices, you're actually uniquely encrypting for each of those as a unique cryptographic endpoint. The messenger helps take care of that part of security. Along the way, it also determines whether or not there are any particular reviewers who are attached to any of those parties in the conversation, right? And this is for government or regulated industries like healthcare, financial services, or defense manufacturing. This is really important. There are people who are responsible for being able to review those communications afterwards. And so you could automatically encrypt a specific copy of that message and its file share immutably for the appropriate reviewers based on who's involved in that conversation. Where you execute that review is inside of the vault. And so the reviewers are actually able to go directly into the vault. They've got a different set of responsibilities from, say, the administrators. They're able to go back and decrypt those sets of communications. Now, in our model, the administrator is actually segregated from the reviewer in the sense that the administrator isn't automatically able to decrypt all communications. They don't hold a decryption key that suddenly lets them into everyone's everything, right? We call this preventing the Edward Snowden effect, right? An IT administrator should be able to administer the system without necessarily having access to everything inside of it. In our model, what the IT administrator does is they help manage the policies as well as take actions to remediate, say, a lost or stolen device, things like that, through the helm. That's our management console.
Great. Now, Isaac, I jotted down secure messenger. You're a Marine. When you think of a secure messenger, you think of a guy with a gun or something. So secure messenger means different things for different people. What I want to do is I want to set up this question for you, then take a break. And the question involves DevOps and systems and making these transitions. And another question I have is that you're a young man with a relatively small new company. You're competing against the big dogs, and you seem to be successful. I'm trying to find out what that secret sauce is. So let's take a little break, come back, and talk more about DevOps and talk about, well, you know, you're competing against some big guys, and you're having a lot of success. Let's figure out why. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Isaac Barnes, CTO and founder of a company called Eminent, and Navroop Mittur. He is the founder and CEO of a company called Armor Text. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Isaac Barnes. He's the CTO and co-founder of a company called Eminent, E-M-I-N-E-N-T. And Navroop Mittur, he is the founder and CEO of a company called Armor Text. And before the break, I had this funny word that I stumbled on called DevOps. So, Isaac, you know, people in the Pentagon, people at HHS, everywhere, they have these big projects and they make transition. And someone waltzes in and says DevOps. And I think half the people in the room don't know what it means. So tell us, what the heck is DevOps?
I'm not the definitive expert on DevOps.
Well, then you have to walk out of here, buddy. I thought you were.
But what I will say is DevOps is a trend that is being adopted in industry, and government is slowly adopting it. And the reason why they're slowly adopting it is because it's the marriage between the development teams and the operations teams. And what that provides you is a level of speed and efficiency that you didn't necessarily have in the past. I actually believe that there's more of a holistic approach that DevOps is a part of, but DevOps is extremely important moving forward, just for us to migrate to some of the new architectures and new platforms that are going to be necessary to provide the level of service that's needed. So in a nutshell, I believe DevOps is simply two different groups coming together and then implementing solutions that allow the organization to be more efficient, and being able to do that in an iterative fashion that allows them to take incremental approaches where you're looking at one customer's need and you're solving a part of it, and then you're working on the next issue and then deploying it and working on the next issue and then deploying it. And it's something that industry's been doing for a very long time, and it's a part of a broader trend of government organizations trying to adopt what Silicon Valley is pushing out.
Good. Now, Roop, when I first met Isaac, you know what he does? He goes in the Pentagon, and there's a general who's happy with the program. He waltzes in and goes, guess what, General? We're going to move you away to something new. This is not a real pleasant job to have. I just, there's too many headaches there. So what do you think of moving legacy applications in a structured military environment? That's not a job for me. How about you?
Yeah, you know, not a job I enjoyed. It's why I left consulting behind. It's also why I left the federal marketplace a long time ago.
It's a tough job you have, Isaac. Yeah. So my question to you is, why are you successful? I mean, you're coming up against some big, big companies that got big buildings with names on them and stuff. So why you?
Because we do what most startups and entrepreneurs do. We identify pain points and problems, and we create solutions and implement solutions to solve those problems. There's no organization in the federal space that has it all figured out. right? And there's no large business that has it all figured out. And what we're able to do is not necessarily try to undercut them or take them out of the picture. We're working with them to basically provide a new perspective and alternative approaches to solving some of the problems that they're facing today.
So Navroop, your company is relatively new. Tell us about its origins and where you see yourself in 5 years.
Yeah, you know, we got started in the secure consumer messaging space, realized that because there were a number of enterprises calling us, we clearly had something that was of value to them, right? These are organizations who decided that willful disregard for the obvious wasn't a good business strategy when it came to risk management, right? These are companies that wanted to proactively start to encrypt their communications. And this is years before we started to see the breaches of 2016, right? This is before Hillary and before the DNC. So we made that pivot into the enterprise, started developing our technology out, and then over the last couple of years have actually been testing it, rolling it out, and selling it now to some of the largest organizations in the country.
So it's a kind of surprise with the success. You're going one direction and pivoted and changed.
You know, as an entrepreneur, that's frequently what you have to do, right? You realize you've built an amazing piece of technology, but the core audience for it is over here, and they actually want something built around that, right? They wanted a more full-fledged product, so our consumer messenger had to be rewritten for the enterprise. We had to build out the management console with the Helm. We had to build out that after-action review capability called the Vault. By packaging those things together, we were able to truly meet more holistically the needs of our new customers across verticals.
So Navroop, I went to your website, armortext.com, and there's a thing there. It's a 90% of people fail to encrypt. Higher than that, where'd you get that number? And is it important, not important? Or is everyone, if you think about encryption, you're all freaked out and flipped out? Or should normal people think about encryption?
You know, when it comes to encrypting messaging or file share collaboration beyond the firewall, the reality is the number is much higher than 90%. There are industry reports that show that. But we actually ran our own surveys. We went and talked to a number of potential customers. We talked to our existing customers. We also talked to a whole bunch of friends in and around industry, particularly guys like Isaac, who are dealing with this on a daily basis. And then they confirmed that the number is probably closer to 99% of organizations failing to do this as they move into the cloud.
I'd buy that number, yeah.
Yeah, right? It's a real problem. Now, the reality is we all need to be worried about this kind of encryption, right? There are a lot of folks who say, well, I have nothing of value, right? Great. Hillary Clinton was talking about a lemonade recipe, among other things in those emails. I'm willing to bet she wishes all of those had been so well encrypted that no one else got into those communications. I'm willing to bet the guys at Sony feel the same way too, right? Sony's executives' communications were splattered across the headlines. Most of these were little sound bites or little nuggets taken out, otherwise innocuous communications that take place over the course of many years. When you have a mass-scale breach like that, when all of your communications are ripped out of your organization, you lose control of the context and your critics get to define your intent. Yep. And so it's important to start looking at the products we use every day and saying, well, wait a minute, instead of bundling on top of the existing solutions I have a bunch of security products that then ruin the user experience and make my life harder, why don't I just go and use the secure product, the product that was built with that security from the ground up, security that's ultimately transparent to the end user. And that's what we've done with Armortext, right? We've made that kind of encryption you would have had back in the day with either PGP or some of these other products you would have implemented, fully transparent, automated, and so that the user experience is much better. Each of your devices use a unique cryptographic endpoint. Great, you lose one, blow its data and keys away, continue work from the rest as if nothing ever happened.
So Isaac, I'm gonna put a new hat on. You take off your baseball hat and put on your academic hat. And let's say we go 2 miles down the road and we're sitting over at Healy Hall at Georgetown, and we have a couple provosts there and some deans, and we go, okay, Isaac, what kind of classes should we put together for you? You know, you hire people all the time. You interview them. You ask what kind of skill set they have. What kind of skill set do you want your prospective hires to have? What do you look for in people? Are there degrees? Is the PMI certification? Is it technical knowledge? So what kind of employees do you look for? What kind of academic, what kind of class would you design in order to hire the perfect hire?
I think the biggest thing is for me, just in general, the technical skills will come if you have the work ethic and the desire to learn it. But the biggest thing is people skills. And I always go back to this. I think throughout my career, the fact that I am a people person and I like people and I'm actually invested in helping them, I think that has been one of the most beneficial things for me in my career. I can build a program, I can build software, I can implement a networking environment, but if I don't understand the actual users and I don't understand their needs and their pain points. I did all that for nothing. And I think the biggest things that we can teach the next generation of people that are coming into this space, and what I look for when I hire, is that level of understanding of people and understanding the importance of it. And I know that's something that you've focused on, John, and I think it needs to be a broader subject that needs to be involved.
It's a subtle skill because there's not a checkbox for it. You don't get a certificate. I'm not a jerk face. I have a master's degree in getting along with people. Right. It's more of an art, and it's difficult to evaluate. And I don't know how recruiters do it. And they present with five people, and you meet with five people, and how can you tell work ethic?
So for me, one of the things that we've implemented in our company is we've implemented the process of testing. We don't just interview people and tomorrow you have a job. We actually have you complete a simple test. And it's something that, one, we can see if you're dedicated to it, because at that point you're not getting paid. We haven't offered you an actual position. You're not actually working for us. But if you can actually put in the hours and the time to execute this task that we give you, and it's going to be something that is going to be based around what you said you can do on your resume. It's not going to be putting you in a place where you're going to be overly challenged and not able to accomplish it. But what that test proves to us is that you're serious about, one, working with us, and you're serious about your craft.
What you put in your resume. Now, Roop, he has a background in biomedical engineering. And so he puts that in his resume, and that guy's got to be smart. That's a kind of a check mark there. But can he get along with people? That's the question you'd have to ask.
Exactly.
You know, this guy's plenty smart, but can he get along with people? And that's a tough skill to find out. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk more about some of the challenges with encryption, maybe about how to handle people and make these transitions from bigger systems to different types of systems over in a pretty secure environment. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Isaac Barnes, CTO and co-founder of a company called Eminent, and Navroop Mittner, he is a founder and CEO of a company called Armor Text. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we have Isaac Barnes from Eminent, Navroop Mittner from Armor Text, and we're kind of doing compare and contrast here. We have two startup companies. One's heavily involved with the DoD, doing big, massive projects and making all kinds of transitions. Another one, kind of a commercial, loose, flexible encryption software. And both have applications in the federal government, kind of kicking around different ways they fit in, where they don't fit, go back and forth. In fact, I've asked each individual about the other company, so we have good perspectives here. So, Isaac, let's say you're giving Navroop some advice at $400 an hour, and you say, hey, if you want to get in the federal government, how can you prove your case to the federal? What would you tell them to do?
I think the best approach is to pursue partners that have already established the relationships, already established the trust, and also have gone through all the red tape of being able to do business with the government. And the other aspect of it is focusing in on the key points that he's mentioned already, which is this is a secure way to send messages.
Good. And keep that message simple and pound it and pound it and pound it.
Exactly.
Okay, tables turned now, Navroop. So let's say Isaac hires you at $400 an hour to help him with his business plan and strategy. So I would tell him to get out of there and get a job at McDonald's. I mean, this is too many headaches for me. So what would you counsel him to do?
Yeah, you know, Isaac is getting ready to roll out a new technology, their new software that they're going to roll out to a private beta very soon here. I think it's on July 4th, right?
Correct.
So as they look to roll this out, I would encourage Isaac to start looking at building a secure product as opposed to a product that requires other security products to be layered on top. That's how you ensure that long-term, your users continue to get the user experience you intended for them to have while still having the security that your customers need.
Tell you what, Isaac, I had this silly analogy with you putting your academic hat on at Georgetown. But seriously, when they have a course in cybersecurity, bang, it's filled up that first day. First day, because everyone has a cybersecurity aspect to it, and it makes perfect sense to me. It's a prediction time now, Isaac. Not talking about the Wizards or the Nationals or maybe that team in Cleveland. So where's your company going to be in 5 years? Where do you see yourself growing?
I see us evolving into a hybrid of a products and a services company, and leveraging basically all the emerging technologies that aren't necessarily emerging anymore. They're actually here. Cloud, big data, cybersecurity, leveraging all these platforms that exist and building solutions on top of them that solve problems across government. And I think that's going to be our focus, and that's where we're going next.
Now, Roop, I bring in entrepreneurs to my class all the time, and they have an hour, and the kids go back and forth and beat them up and back and forth and back and forth. So if one of my students said, well, now, Roop, where are you going to be in 5 years with this company? What would you say?
You know, we're going to be continuing to deliver on our promise of bringing increased trust to high-value transactions and sensitive conversations on messaging. The reality is encrypted messaging and enterprise controls and information lifecycle management, this is just the start for us. It's phase one of our roadmap. In phase two and three, we're going to start to introduce technologies that help prove who is behind the screen as critical aspects of that message or that transaction were composed. And that's how you start to bring increased trust.
It's all about the trust. Now, tell me about blockchain. Does that have anything to do with your product?
Yeah, we're not leveraging the blockchain today, but we have looked at how we potentially use the blockchain as a public ledger to prove the integrity of the messages that were in the archive, right? Where the reviewers are going. How do they know nothing was tampered with? How do they correctly assess this against a public ledger of some sort? And that's where we've looked at potentially baking in the blockchain.
Yeah, it's going to have applications. So let's go across the river to the DOD, go in the Pentagon there. It seems like they're going to get some funding, other like some civil agencies here. And they seem to be making some very serious inroads as far as reducing the number of data centers. I mean, I think the civilian agencies may want to look at the Pentagon and go, well, how are you guys doing it? Because there are some leaders over there in the Pentagon, and I know what they're doing. They're putting their foot down and saying, Isaac, you got till next week to read it, and they do it because that's what they're trained to do.
Exactly.
So you think they're going to accomplish this transition to the cloud? Where do you think the DoD's headed in the next 4 years as far as large systems go?
They're definitely headed to the cloud. It's inevitable. The trend is actually here. It's no longer emerging, like I said earlier. And a lot of the early groundwork that was necessary in order to make that transition possible has already taken place. Organizations like DISA have implemented cloud policies and implemented cloud platforms that organizations can go and leverage. And I think we're going to see very soon some very large-scale implementations actually happening in the cloud. And that's a part of the overall modernization strategy. The next phase of that is going to be focusing on the applications that actually live in that cloud and making those useful to the end users.
So remember that commercial where Mikey likes it, and so I'll try it, the Life cereal or something. It's like, well, DISA did it, and we'll let them screw up and make mistakes. Let them take the arrows. Now we're going to come falling behind them. So they did, too. They
exactly.
Physically moved, you know, to Maryland, and they also moved the way they handle their IT. I mean, there was a lot of change involved in that. I mean, that was significant stuff. We had them in the studio, talked about it.
Yep.
So, Navru, when I go to your website, I see words like award-winning secure messaging and file share. Two different products, two different systems?
No, absolutely one and the same, right? Messaging is where your links to your Dropbox, your Box, and other things like that have typically gone, right? You're sending files through messaging. What we've done is we've actually combined the two into one platform. You're able to attach Word docs, PDFs, Excel files, images, movies, whatever you're looking to attach and send, you can actually send with the exact same kind of security model, that unique encryption per message that's uniquely then encrypted for every single recipient's individual devices. That we extend that same security model to files, and it's just passed across the messaging framework, so they're one and the same.
So, Isaac, when it comes to moving larger systems away from products that, well, I'll say the word, IBM, I think there's some products that are just not going to get off mainframes, and there's some products that are. So are there guidelines for what cards to hold and what cards to play? I mean, you're playing a card game here. How do you know which ones to hold and when to hold them, when to fold them, and when do you move to the cloud?
That's a great question. I think the best approach is to take an incremental approach. And if you are working with an archaic system that's very large and robust, moving that is going to take a lot of effort and a lot of energy, where if you focused on smaller initiatives and execute there, then you're at least establishing a footprint and getting your organization used to living in the cloud. And I think that's the direction, the proper direction that organizations and agencies need to take.
Hmm. And before we end here, what is your website? Where can people get more information about you and your company?
Our website is www.emin-it.com.
Great. Now, Navru, now there's a CODA, you know, the other word, CODA tail, award-winning secure messaging and file sharing for teams. And so your product is designed for teams. It's not an individual going to sign up for it. It's got to be a group or maybe a group involved in one project. Or is that how your product works?
So we absolutely have the messaging product that's available to everyone. You can go download it for free from the app stores or directly from our website, www.armortext.com. That's ARMORTEXT.com.
Mm-hmm. Individual can download and test it out.
Absolutely. An individual can download it and test it out. That said, the primary capabilities are designed around organizations and teams and the management controls and the lifecycle management they require. So we encourage people to then sign up for both a demo and or start a pilot where you can then see the Helm and the Vault in action.
Well, we have to end the show now. We're running out of time. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Isaac Barnes, CTO and co-founder of a company called Eminent, and Navroop Mittner, he is the founder and CEO of a company called Armor Text. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.